Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from Alexandria, Virginia, actually just across the river from Washington, D.C., where, of course, is the nation's capital. I did something very interesting this morning. I helped take down, or at least watched, as a good politician, helped take down a sign in Arlington County, just across the river from Washington, D.C., a sign that said Jefferson Davis Highway. Actually, I have pictures of me standing over the broken down sign. The chair of the county board of Arlington County broke the sign, bent the sign, and we replaced it with Richmond Highway. And it's, thank you. It's actually something I've been trying to do for some time. I've moved to this area 18 years ago now, and that sign, that highway, Jefferson Davis Highway, always offended me. It seemed wrong. It seemed out of place. It seemed ahistorical. Why are we praising the man who fought to preserve slavery, who was really a traitor to his country, encouraged violence, encouraged brother to take up arm against brother? The Civil War, as I've often said, is the bloodiest war in American history. It is a war where more Americans were killed than all of our wars put together. More than 600,000 combatants died when you include civilians. We're talking a million people in a country that only had 30 million at the time. I guess it would be the equivalent of 10 million today. So it struck me as, why are we honoring this guy? Particularly in a liberal community like the Northern Virginia communities that I'm proud to represent. And once I was elected to office, I started to figure out how we could take that sign down. Turns out that that sign was required by the Virginia General Assembly, by the Virginia Legislature. The Virginia Legislature voted in 1922 to create the Jefferson Davis Highway. It's actually renaming an old road. U.S. 1, I'm sure you know U.S. 1 well, from up there in Maine down to Key West, Florida, all along the East Coast. And it renamed this portion of U.S. Highway 1 Jefferson Davis Highway. It was designed by the United Daughters of the Confederacy to go from Washington, D.C., all the way along the south in a transcontinental route to San Diego, California. It seems there was already a highway called the Lincoln Highway that went from New York to San Francisco, and they wanted a southern route. But they named it Jefferson Davis Highway. Think about what that meant. By the way, the transcontinental route was never completed. They never connected all those Jefferson Davis Highways. But you will see in Virginia, North Carolina, you go down through the south, Georgia, Alabama, all the way out, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, there are roads that are or were named Jefferson Davis. Think about what the South was trying to do here. Think about what America was trying to do. They were trying to say that Jefferson Davis was the equivalent of Abraham Lincoln, that in effect we were two countries. In effect, the South had won the Civil War. After all, they were getting the same honorific as Lincoln. And what they really were saying was that slavery was a good thing. Because after all, what was Confederacy about? What were they fighting for? What was the right they fought to preserve? Why did hundreds of thousands of Americans kill hundreds of thousands of other Americans? All on the Southern side, on the Jefferson Davis side, the president of the Confederacy, to preserve slavery. And let's remind ourselves, shall we, about America's original sin, about slavery, about this crime against humanity. You know, we say slavery as if it's just a word and not an atrocity, which of course it was. America has two original sins, two foundational evils that largely created our country that, frankly, we can never repair, although I do support some form of reparations. One is the original sin of slavery. The other is the original sin of the genocide of the Native American populations that lived here before the white man came and were decimated by our forebears. That's going to have to be a show for another day. But slavery was always the great stain on America, and we still suffer its effects today. What I want to examine this hour is American history, because there are some that claim that my being instrumental in removing the Jefferson Davis Highway sign, go look at my Facebook page, my delegate Facebook page, and there's all kinds of trolls. They're not my constituents. My constituents get it, but people from outside Northern Virginia, largely people from outside of Virginia, that say, Mark, you're erasing history. How dare you remove that Jefferson Davis name? You're hiding history. In fact, I would argue I'm preserving history. And I want to talk this hour about how best we can preserve history, including preserving the darker times in our history. I don't want to hide discussion of slavery. I want to encourage discussion of slavery. In fact, I've been pressing Alexandria to better show its slavery trail of tears. Never heard of the slavery trail of tears? Well, we need more history. What was the slavery trail of tears? You may have heard of the Native American trail of tears, relating back to the other original sin of the United States. That was President Andrew Jackson forcing Native American populations who'd lived in the South for millennia, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, and a number of Native American tribes, to leave their homes, to be forced out west to Oklahoma. That was going to be their Indian territory. Then later we took Oklahoma too. You probably heard about that Trail of Tears. That Trail of Tears is at least in most American textbooks today, and I'm glad it is. The slavery Trail of Tears was much larger than the Native American Trail of Tears. Native American Trail of Tears was probably 500,000 people. The slavery Trail of Tears was millions of people. And I may have my numbers wrong, so I don't want to, you know, when I know something for sure, I'll let you know. In fact, I need to get you the scale. I'll try to do that in the break. But I do know the slavery Trail of Tears was much larger. The slavery Trail of Tears was the forcible movement of at least hundreds of thousands, I think it probably was millions, but I'll check, of slaves, of African Americans, from the Old South to the New South. You see, in the Old South, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, in North Carolina, slaves were largely used to grow tobacco. And tobacco exhausts the fields, and cotton, prior to the cotton gin, required a lot of human labor, but after this piece of machinery by Eli Whitney that could remove the cotton seeds required much less human labor. And they didn't need as much labor in the Old South, Virginia and North Carolina. The slave trade from across the ocean ended in 1808, but certainly Virginia and North Carolina, Maryland, South Carolina, the East Coast grew their own slaves, right? There's an old Virginia law from the 1660s that says that anyone who's born to a slave mother is automatically a slave. That's something we invented in the United States, by the way. I should say the colony of Virginia, because it predates the United States. This idea that you're born into slavery. I guess we shouldn't say we invented it. After all, the Jews of old Egypt were born into slavery, and certainly precedent for it. But at least in the Americas, the old idea was to be indentured servants. You would come over and serve for a term of years. Virginia also seemed to begin the idea of racist slavery, slavery based on race. In fact, we had our 400th anniversary of the first Africans coming to the colony of Virginia and to what became the United States in 1619. Talking about, they came on a Portuguese slave ship. Some were indentured servants, some were freed after a term of years, but within decades, already the idea became that white people could be freed after a term of years, but black people, but Africans, would be enslaved for life. I'm telling all this history because, one, I think you should know it, particularly if you're an American. You should know the history of slavery. We should teach and know the history of slavery as much as we teach and know the history of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, as much as we teach the Revolutionary War, and certainly much more than we teach Jefferson Davis. I'll get to that in a minute. But slavery took its foothold in Virginia. Racist slavery, racial slavery, began in Virginia and spread across the American South. Never underestimate the atrocity of slavery. It's not just that so many Africans died in the Middle Passage across the ocean. It's not just that so many died in the slavery Trail of Tears down from Alexandria, Virginia in the Old South to Natchez, Mississippi in the New South, where thousands of slaves were marched with these heavy chains around their neck in these groups of couple dozen called coffles, where you're chained to your fellow person walking by you and marched 1,000 miles from Virginia to Mississippi in the hot sun. Think how hot it is when you have a metal chain around your neck in the hot sun. Think how hard it is when the person next to you needs water and falls and falters and is chained to you. Families were separated. Men who didn't obey or who tried to escape were beaten. And when I say beaten, I mean whipped, stripes on the back. Andrew Jackson famously put out an ad for an escaped slave, saying that he would pay so many dollars to get the slave back and so many dollars for every stripe on the slave's back if they were caught. Actually paid to beat up the slaves. And earlier Virginia law actually said that if you kill a slave, it's not a crime any more than if you kill your pig or your cow. I guess if you killed another man's slave, that might be a crime. Women, they were property of the master. There's a reason why most African Americans today are not as dark as the Africans of Africa. The vast majority of African Americans today have white blood in them, and the vast majority of that white blood was not consensual. It was masters raping slaves, and women having to submit to their masters, and children being torn apart from their parents. One of the reasons why Donald Trump's immigration policy I find so offensive is it reminds me, not quite as bad as, but reminds me as the slavery times when we ripped children apart from their parents and they were never seen again. This is the atrocity that Jefferson Davis fought for. This is the atrocity that the Confederacy lost hundreds of thousands of lives for, became a traitor against the United States for. This is what the Civil War was about. Oh, I don't want to erase history. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. I want to remember history in the proper way. We're going to get back after this break to exactly how I think American history, and really all human history, should be remembered, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll be right back, right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded liberal America. He's Mark Levine. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about history, and namely how to preserve it. When I worked hard to remove Jefferson Davis Highway, and I'll go through some of how I did that in this hour, I got tremendous support from my constituents, the people in Alexandria and Arlington, whom I represent. And I did get pushback from people outside of Northern Virginia, from people in other areas of Virginia, from people in other states. And they said I was erasing history. And what they showed is that they really don't know history. They don't know the history of Jefferson Davis. They don't know the history of Jefferson Davis Highway. The history that we were taking down was not history. It was actually fake news. In fact, the oldest and greatest fake news campaign in American history, otherwise known as the Lost Cause. You see, after the Civil War, after the Union won the war, they at first set out to have equality in government. It wasn't easy to take former slaves and allow them to actually rule in government. But there were slaves that were literate. There were slaves that served in these state governments of the South. It was called Reconstruction. And the South was horrified at the idea that blacks would have any semblance of equality, and it certainly wasn't equal. So after Reconstruction, after the South took back, the white South, I should say, the slave owners took back the South and basically instituted something very close to slavery, if not exactly slavery, kind of a sharecropping thing. The idea was that it was okay to persecute blacks in the South if there was this myth of the lost cause, of the brave and honorable and gallant Southern fighters who died for their cause, for their belief. There came this idea that actually the Civil War wasn't about slavery, that maybe it was about states' rights, when actually every single state that seceded said it was about slavery. And this whole lost cause idea, this romantic idea of what the South had done, things you see in everything from the first talkie, the first talking movie, Birth of a Nation, to, well, the famous story Gone with the Wind, right? Wonderful film, fantastic film, beautiful color film, but all pushing this false history. It's interesting because immediately after the war, Jefferson Davis was indicted for treason, actually treated quite well, put in prison, then the charges were dropped. And Lincoln understandably wanted to heal the nation, so he didn't focus on a lot of the atrocities of slavery, a lot of the harm done by the Civil War. But the fake news went pretty far. And in the 1920s, when Jefferson Davis Highway was named, 60 years, by the way, after the Civil War, Jefferson Davis was long gone. Jefferson Davis was largely reviled by the North and the South after the war. But it was named in the 1920s. The 1920s, an era of lynching and Jim Crow laws and the KKK. An era when racism post-Civil War was at its peak. That's the history of the Jefferson Davis Highway, and we're going to get into more of it right after this break. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about, well, how to remember history and why we should remember history and really what it's all about. Because, I had a historical moment today. Actually, I went ahead and I had the pleasure of removing a very old sign, a sign designating Jefferson Davis Highway as Route 1 in Virginia. And it was a culmination of a lot of work. And it's important to understand why that sign came to be, because I think that sign is symbolic of a lot of signs and statues, particularly throughout the southern United States, though not only in the South. You see them in states that fought for the North. You see them in Maryland. You see them in West Virginia, a state that broke away from Virginia precisely because it did not support secession. So the question is, where do these signs come from,
And is removing them somehow attacking history? Because that's at least what I've been accused of on Facebook, not so much by my constituents. So as noted, after the end of the Civil War, the United States had a brief period of Reconstruction, a brief period where Union troops occupied the South and forced the South to treat blacks, if not equally, with some semblance of equality. There were even African Americans, ex-slaves, freed men, serving in Southern legislatures for a period of time. But the South slowly took back its white supremacy, and through doctrines like separate but equal that treated blacks differently from whites, and through basically keeping blacks from voting, right? The 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution says that blacks can vote, says that no condition of prior servitude shall prevent someone from voting. In other words, former slaves can vote. So the South tried all kinds of other little tricks. It had poll taxes because slaves were too poor to pay for the tax to vote. But there were poor white Southerners too. What did you do about them? Well, they had literacy tests because it was illegal to teach a slave to read. Yeah, but some slaves could read and some white people couldn't. So then they came up with the brilliant idea of grandfather clauses. You may have heard of grandfather clauses. They're used very nonchalantly now. A grandfather clause simply says that the people who had something a certain way, when you change a law, get to keep having it that way, right? So a grandfather clause, if you're raising the drinking age from 18 to 21, then the people who were already 18 and could drink don't go under the new law. That's what a grandfather clause is. But grandfather clauses come from a much more nefarious past. The original grandfather clauses were named that way because they said, well, you don't have to pay the poll tax, and you don't have to know the literacy test, and you don't have to guess how many jelly beans are in a jar if your grandfather could vote. If your grandfather was an American citizen, if your grandfather had rights under the law, then you'd have them too. And this way, all these tests and machinations that America was making former slaves go through, white people didn't have to worry about those. If their grandfather could vote, they could vote. In other words, the 15th Amendment meant nothing at all. In other words, the same people who had power before the Civil War had power after the Civil War. So whenever you hear the term grandfather clause, if you start to shudder a little bit, that's a good thing. The point is that by 1922, at the time the Virginia General Assembly ordered the construction of the Jefferson-Davis Highway, ordered the creation of this massive transcontinental highway all the way from Washington, D.C., all the way to San Diego, it really wasn't about Jeff Davis at all. As I said, Jefferson Davis, well, he was not thought very well of after the Civil War by North or South. Civil War was 60 years old in 1922. Most of the veterans of the Civil War had died. No, 1922 was not about the Civil War. It was about keeping blacks in their place. Blacks who thought they had rights just because the Union won the war, just because slavery was over. People, blacks who tried to vote, were often imprisoned on fake charges. By the way, a lot of the criminalization of things like drugs and so forth also comes from the turn of the century, from the 1920s. And by unequal application of the law, which still happens today, if blacks are punished for using a drug that whites use the same drug and aren't punished for, like alcohol or today marijuana, then you can restrict their rights because the 15th Amendment of the Constitution says that basically if you've committed a crime, you can take away someone's right to vote. Actually, it also says if you participate in a rebellion. The purpose of the original amendment was basically to allow blacks to vote and allow say to the white Southerners they couldn't vote. They had rebelled against the United States. But this whole thing was used, as they said in 1901 in Virginia, 1902, we're going to put a bunch of blacks in jail, said a senator from Virginia, so that the darkie never gets power again. So by using criminal law, by using literacy tests, poll taxes, grandfather clauses, and frankly, when necessary, lynching, or maybe not even when necessary. If a former slave, if an African-American, if a child, a free black man got too uppity, according to the whites, they would just string him up. They wouldn't even kill him privately. They'd string him up publicly. They'd hang him in the public square. People would celebrate. They would have picnics. They would take photographs because there were cameras in the 1920s, with the dangling corpse as a clear sign to black people, know your place. This is the time of the Ku Klux Klan's greatest visibility. In 1925, tens of thousands of robed Klansmen marched in Washington, D.C., showing the tremendous power of the white supremacist movement. Burning crosses. Many, many Klansmen were members of Congress. And it was then, in 1922, that the Virginia General Assembly passed a law requiring Jefferson Davis Highway in Virginia. Now, some localities never changed the name. Fairfax County never changed the name. Arlington, Alexandria, it's not even clear when we did change the name. It may have been in the 1920s. It may have been in the 1950s during massive resistance. That's another piece of history you should know about. Massive resistance. After Brown versus Board of Education, Virginia fought so hard against integrating the schools that they closed a bunch of schools down throughout Virginia. They would rather have no children educated at all than allow black kids to have an equal education with white kids. This is as recently as the 1950s. This is not ancient history. And by the way, you know who's doing it? Democrats. That's right, the solid South. The Democratic Party. Lincoln was a Republican. So it was the Democratic Party doing all of this. When I say, and I mean it, that this November, if we in Virginia elect a Democratic majority, we will have our first progressive majority in 400 years, I mean it. Because the Democrats, before in Virginia, before the Civil War, after the Civil War, were not progressive. The last time the Democrats controlled Virginia was in the 1990s, and the majority were not progressive. That's why it's really exciting that we could have a progressive majority, a liberal majority, a majority that actually treats blacks as equals. No, you probably know the history than the George Wallace after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 finally allowed African Americans to have some semblance of equality under the law. Because it was passed by Lyndon Johnson, suddenly racists didn't like the Democratic Party anymore. There was a third party candidate, George Wallace, ran for office, got some 13 million votes, got several electoral votes, and Richard Nixon said, you know what? The racists, we can get their vote. The racists hate the Democrats. The Democrats are allowing blacks equal rights. I will grab the racist vote. He called it the Southern Strategy. And the Republican Party actively courted racist people to support them. It took some time. But in time, the entire South flipped from blue to red. In time, the Democrats became the Liberal Party. And the Republicans became the party of racism. The party it still is today, the party of David Duke, the party of the Ku Klux Klan, the party of Donald Trump. So yes, if Democrats take over in Virginia in 2019, we will be the first progressive majority in 400 years. But the point is that the people who designed Jefferson Davis Highway in the 1920s, they weren't out to praise Jeff Davis. They were out to leave a clear sign to African Americans, know your place. Stay in your lane. Don't be uppity and try to vote. Don't be uppity and think you can get a job that white people get. No, no blacks. You could be maids. You could be Pullman porters. You could lift heavy objects. But try to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. I won't use the racial slurs someone would have said at that point. Now, this highway stayed from 1922 all the way until this morning. In fact, to be fair, it still exists in other places in Virginia, south of Northern Virginia, in Prince William County, where I hope one day we'll have a Democratic majority and be able to remove the highway signs there. But to think that even in progressive Northern Virginia, black kids had to walk on that road, on Route 1, a very well-used road, with hotels and everything on Jefferson Davis Highway. The NAACP wanted to have a meeting. They couldn't meet on this prime road in Arlington because it was Jefferson Davis Highway. More importantly, it was not the values of the community I'm proud to represent. But we had a problem. You see, it was the General Assembly that made the name. It was state law. And the Republicans, now the party of racism, was no way going to remove Jefferson Davis. They were proud of Jefferson Davis. They were proud of the legacy of slavery. They were proud of the legacy of lynching and Jim Crow. They supported those atrocities. Not quite how they phrased it, right? They phrased it as, no, I just want to remember my granddaddy and what he fought for. I understand affection for one's grandparents. But what do you do when one's grandparents or great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents have done atrocious acts? How do we feel about Germans remembering their grandparents who pulled the levers of the gas chambers? I don't believe that the sins of the fathers go to the sins of the sons. I welcome, for example, the Germans today, the vast majority of whom repudiate their past. But I welcome them because they repudiate their past. Anyone that was praising their grandfather in the death chambers, I don't think is welcome back to humanity. And I feel the same way about those who are praising the slavery of their forebears. That doesn't mean that all people who owned slaves were evil. There were people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, our founding fathers, James Madison, that did some terrible things with slaves, but also gave us ideas of democracy. Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, writes, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal," at the same time as he owned men as slaves. Now that's the great contradiction of America, right? We in Virginia celebrated the 400th year of representative democracy in the Western Hemisphere. The body in which I sit, the Virginia House of Delegates, used to be called the Virginia House of Burgesses, dates back to July of 1619. When, yeah, it was only white men with property, but we began the idea of representative democracy, something that is worthy of celebration. And what happened 3 weeks after that first meeting in Jamestown in Virginia? The first Africans arrived on the shore of Virginia from a Portuguese slave ship. Just 3 weeks after democracy began in America, slavery began. So Thomas Jefferson, the man who designed the Virginia Capitol, the man who wrote the Declaration of Independence, wrote these beautiful words, words we still should live by today, that all men and women are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I believe those words as strongly as I ever have. Thomas Jefferson was right, but the man was wrong. I can understand. I can live with the contradictions. I am not for taking down the Jefferson Memorial. All these people are saying, Mark, if you take down Jefferson Davis Highway, you have to change the name of Washington, D.C. George Washington was a slave owner. No. The reason we celebrate the founding fathers is not because they owned slaves. We celebrate them because of their ideals of liberty and democracy. Because of the best of what they were, not the worst of what they were. That doesn't mean we shouldn't teach the worst of what they were. We need to teach what Andrew Jackson did with the Trail of Tears. We need to teach that Thomas Jefferson almost certainly had intercourse. Some might call it rape, given her age, given that she was his slave, with Sally Hemings. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about the slave quarters at Mount Vernon, and we now show that at George Washington's home. The founders were not perfect people. But we can praise some of the good that they did. But not Jefferson Davis. What good did Jefferson Davis ever do? Jefferson Davis believed in tearing this country apart. He believed in fighting a war. He believed in committing acts of violence against his own country in order to preserve the right of man to be evil to another man. No, I'm fine with the Washington Monument. I am not fine with Jefferson Davis Highway. And there's a very clear and easy distinction between them. And those that would elide that distinction, pretend there is no distinction, either really don't understand American history or are pretending not to because they're white supremacists themselves. Be right back with my conclusion right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
So just a few minutes left. I want to sum up my argument about remembering history. I firmly believe in remembering history. I don't want to erase the memory of the stain of slavery. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it from all perspectives, particularly from the slave's perspective, but also from the slave owner's perspective. This is American history. This is who we are as a country. We need to teach this. One of the things I pressed for in the Virginia government is to require teaching of slavery. But removing the Jefferson Davis Highway sign is not removing teaching who Jefferson Davis was any more than not having Hitler Highway means we don't talk about Adolf Hitler. We talk about Benedict Arnold. He's in all our textbooks as the American traitor. But we don't have many streets, even in Vermont where he was from, named Benedict Arnold Way. There's a difference between teaching about history and honoring people we should not honor. Jefferson Davis needs to be talked about, but he should not be honored. White supremacy and racism should be talked about, but it should not be honored. These are part of American history that we need to remember. We still feel the effects today. The inequality of blacks and whites still exists today. It's been 150 years since slavery, but only 50 years since Jim Crow laws finally went away. It's only been 100 years or so since Jefferson Davis Highway and these memorials were put up. And honestly, we should remember the lost cause too. We should remember this period of fake history. We should understand how people manipulated history to try to fit their political goals because honestly, that's what our president is doing today. So we should tell the story of Jefferson Davis Highway, understanding it had very little to do with Jefferson Davis. Today in Arlington County, the Jefferson Davis Highway signs are starting to go down. By Monday, they'll all be gone, replaced by the mundane Richmond Highway. People driving up and down the street may not realize that Route 1 was once named for America's most inglorious traitor. But in telling the story of our history, we need to tell it right. So I'm glad those signs have been taken down. This is Mark Levine. Sign off.